Stories of ICE raids have riddled news outlets since President Trump was inaugurated. It's put many cities at odds with federal executive orders and caused national speculation over immigration rights and where they intersect with the 10th Amendment. These have led to more questions from communities nationwide circling around what ICE is and who they are working with. Portland has long since hosted an ICE detention facility, which is not found on ICE's website. KBOO's Zelos Marchant has more.
Tonight, we bring you an advancement of our breaking story on ICE raids in Oregon. An ICE detention center exists inside Portland, Oregon's boundaries and has in fact been operating for over a decade. The nondescript building at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue sits next to the British-owned securities giant G4 Securities. G4 has continually been under scrutiny for its involvement in privateering partnerships and was contracted until December 2016 by an Israeli private equity fund called Femi Opportunity Funds to staff and operate off a prison, which still holds Palestinian prisoners today. G4 Securities, through their Israeli branch, has staffed West Bank checkpoints and continues to maintain a stake in the Israeli Police Academy. G4 is the largest security company in Israel, and in 2010, the company entered into a $234 million contract with the Department of Homeland Security to, quote, transport removable aliens using fortified vans. By driving aliens in custody to processing centers or any other number of locations such as court appearances, hospitals, or prisons, G4 officers and these vans help ICE free up time and resources, end quote. According to Kevin Johnson, G4's Vice President of Government Services, at a National Sheriff's Association exhibit that August. Plans for Portland's ICE Detention Center were stalled later that August by the Portland Design Commission amidst businesses and neighbors' concerns of having a jail nearby. Lori Denkers, an ICE spokeswoman, responded to those concerns, focusing on the detention center's size, saying, quote, those arrested will be processed and interviewed here and turned over to the U.S. Marshals Service, then sent to Multnomah County Jail, or our detention center in Tacoma. This is not going to be a large-scale operation. We really don't expect many people to even know we are here. End quote. Since 2010, the Portland ICE Detention Center has quietly operated until President Trump's paradoxical executive order on immigration violating the 10th Amendment, which states that the federal government and its powers are not allowed to force or regulate state government and its powers. Under the dismantling and reorganization of the Federal Bureau under President George Bush in 2003, ICE is dependent on non-state and federal operatives, including citizens, to strengthen the criminal and civil fields of new and existing immigration laws. Security companies, off-duty officers, and those with bachelor's degrees can contract or become employed by ICE simply through applying and passing a two-week training program that includes rudimentary Spanish language classes. The program, created hastily during the Bush administration, maintains little structure, no platforms, and inconsistent policies for identifying, tracking, and detailing immigrants. Since its creation in 2003, several lawsuits have been filed and are in process against the Immigration Control Enforcement Bureau for unlawful arrest, unlawful detention, failing to have a warrant, and racial profiling. Non-federal employees through G4's contract with the Homeland Security have been conducting broad sweeps on top of regular ICE activities. ICE agents contracted with Homeland Security through G4 Securities can wear casual attire and use unmarked reinforced vans and other vehicles to detain those they suspect need to be taken into custody. This Monday, February 27, 2017, at 12 o'clock at 4310 Southwest McAdam at the Portland ICE Detention Facility, a protest against the building and ICE is taking place. Visit MomentumAlliance.org for more information. This is Zelos Marchant with KBOO News.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Khalid Mosley and Ray Bodwell. The producer is Ray Bodwell. Our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. The KBOO Evening News Director is Zelos Marchant, and the Evening Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson-Osterland.
And I'm Ray Bodwell. Coming up Monday morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on More Talk Radio, Cecil and Celeste talk to the author of Life Beyond My Body, A Transgender Journey to Manhood in China. At 9, social and political commentary on the Old Mole Variety Hour. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein welcomes Columbia Riverkeepers Conservation Director to discuss protecting Oregon's achievements in climate action. At 11, Disability Awareness presents Making Contact, an intimate look at the dynamic and complex relationship of giving and receiving long-term care. And at 11:30 on Voices for the Animals, we'll meet local animal champions with a visit from Humane Oregon. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Have a nice weekend, Linda.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Investors recently purchased the Normandy Apartments at the end of December, quickly issuing a 100% rent increase notice to all 18 residents. Unable to afford the skyrocketing cost of rent and facing a rental market bent on displacing renters outside city limits, the Normandy residents and their community are fighting back. Last week, Living Coley, an advocacy group, sent a letter on the residents' behalf that invited the Normandy Apartments owners to an in-person meeting to discuss rents and other issues. The goal is to ensure residents can remain in their homes long-term. Hundreds of renters and their supporters will be attending a march through the streets of Coley neighborhood at 12:30 p.m. this Saturday, February 25th. The march will begin at the Normandy Apartments and will support the Normandy residents' campaign to stay in their homes in light of the rent increase planned for April 1st. It will conclude with a rally at Rigler Elementary, where some 26 Normandy children attend school. My name is Zelos Marchand, and I have with me here members from Living Coley and Rigler Elementary. I have Cameron Harrington here, Jennifer Fontana, and Adelpha. And Cameron, you'll be interpreting for Adelpha?
That's right.
Thank you for coming here today. It's a really, really heart-wrenching situation going on. Has there been any response from the Normandy owners? I understand there was a deadline of February 23rd for them to respond.
Well, thanks for having us, Zelos. Yes, yesterday was the deadline, and it came and went without any response from the investors that purchased the Normandy. And so we are disappointed that they chose not to show the respect to their tenants who are paying them hundreds of dollars every month and whose lives they are upending with this rent increase, that they chose not to show them respect of even sitting down to meet in person to discuss these issues.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Can you tell us about Living Coley as an organization and what kind of issues Living Coley becomes involved in and how you're helping right now?
Living Coley is a coalition of nonprofit community development organizations based in the Coley neighborhood, and we are very concerned with protecting people of color and low-income residents in the neighborhood who are facing threats of displacement due to rent increases, no-cause evictions, and other threats to their housing. And so we were very proud to be able to respond immediately when we began hearing through our connections at Rigler Elementary School that many of the families with children at Rigler, all of whom live at the Normandy Apartments, are facing this very serious threat and are facing the prospect of being forced out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, Jennifer Fontana, we were meeting earlier as we were waiting for our turn to come up about the complexities of displacement and how it's not just about moving to another neighborhood. Can you tell me and our audience more about that?
Yeah. So at Rigler Elementary, we are kind of in a unique situation where we do serve our immediate neighborhood community. We have, we're K-5, and we have a dual language Spanish immersion school. So all of the students who attend Rigler and live at Normandy, in addition to many other students, participate in our two-way dual language Spanish immersion, which has been shown across, 40 years of research across the United States, dual language and particularly bilingual education for emergent bilingual students is really the best opportunity for these students to achieve at the same rates as their English-only counterparts. And so for me, it's not just about, residents having to move from one place to another, but it's really about access to an educational program that gives them an equal opportunity to succeed. And so without that, that opportunity doesn't exist everywhere, and it's not in every district, and it's not in every neighborhood. So we're not just talking about, relocating to a new school where they'll have the same opportunities. That's not necessarily reality.
For sure. It sounds like you're seeing this, and here I forgot to mention Jennifer Fontana is the assistant principal at Rigler. Is this something you're seeing or that you're also hearing from other colleagues across the board happening as displacement becomes a more national topic?
Yeah, absolutely. In Portland Public Schools, we have a variety of bilingual programs in many different neighborhoods. And our priority really is to serve emergent bilingual students and offer an opportunity to students who traditionally and historically have been underserved so that we are closing the achievement gap. And in many neighborhoods, it's becoming more and more difficult to give access to and priority to those students who are moving or having to move and be pushed out farther and farther from those boundaries. And we do have, equity policies that allow us to provide transportation for students who need access to those programs. But like I said, in Rigler, the uniqueness is that this is our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This is the community that these families live in. And so it's a little more detrimental.
For sure. As you were talking, I was just thinking about those who might not understand, how language works and how it's really tied to our own communities. Could you speak to that? Do you think that there are others, others in the community who maybe this is a new topic for them, or they're seeing their neighbors go through it and don't quite know how to support or approach that, or the language for that? Do you think by helping people understand, you mentioned, what was it, bilingual emergent, what that means, mm-hmm. that maybe they could better then comprehend how being displaced is not just about, oh, I have to have another house. It's just about how you're synchronizing into a community.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that, in the U.S. to be successful, becoming proficient in English is one of the characteristics that students need in order to be successful. And for students who are growing up in a bilingual household, the best way to acquire high levels of academic English and academic success is by being given the opportunity to begin their educational career in their native language. So for some people, it's kind of counterintuitive. In a bilingual program like Rigler's, our program is what's called a 90-10 dual immersion model. So students begin learning in our program in kindergarten 90% of their day in the target language, which in our case is Spanish. So all students who are in the bilingual program at Rigler, English speakers and Spanish speakers, which is why it's two-way. So we're getting that cross-cultural experience for English speakers learning Spanish and Spanish speakers learning English. They're all learning to read and write in Spanish first. And the reason why that's important for especially our emergent bilingual students, like all of the students at Normandy, is they're getting to use their prior 5 years of Spanish vocabulary and knowledge and language to then learn how to read and write through second grade, where then they begin transitioning into English. And what we know about language is that the higher academic level that you have in your native language, the more successful you are at acquiring a second language like English. So while they get to maintain their culture and their language and their identity, they also get the very best chance at becoming proficient students in English as well.
That's so beautiful. It's really beautiful. It's like skill sharing and just that's wonderful. Cameron, I was going to ask Adelpha some questions or a couple questions you want to interpret. I just would like our audience to know how she's doing, how her kiddos are doing, and how the environment is at the Normandy Apartments right now.
¿Cómo estás tú? ¿Cómo están sus niños? ¿Y cómo es el ambiente y el sentimiento de los residentes de Normandy?
Pues estamos más que nada preocupados porque nos aumentaron de mucho la renta y entonces
More than anything, we're just very worried because of this huge rent increase.
Y tenemos que mover a nuestros hijos a otras escuelas cuando no conocemos cómo son. Y es un problema muy grande para nosotros saber.
And so this fear of having to move our children to other schools when we don't know what those schools will be like, it's a big problem for us, that uncertainty.
Cuando recibimos la noticia que nos aumentaron de renta, la renta ellos, ellos y nosotros nos pusimos muy preocupados.
So when we received this rent increase, you know, my neighbors and I, it just made us feel very nervous.
Y pues hasta ahorita todavía estamos, queremos una renta justa, para estar más o menos con nuestros hijos, porque irnos a mover otro lado es difícil para nosotros.
And so what we're really fighting for is a fair rent so that we don't have to move our children far away.
Y ahorita estamos haciendo esta marcha el día de mañana para tratar de que el dueño reaccione y por lo menos tenga un poco de, no sé cómo se dice, de un poco de, como nosotros decimos, de compasión, algo así, para que nos bajara un poco la renta.
And so that's why tomorrow we're having this march, hoping that the owner of the apartments will react in some way to have some compassion and talk about lowering the rent.
Somos muchas familias y somos no sé cuántas familias, pero somos muchas y todos estamos unidos ahorita de que queremos, todos no nos queremos mover.
So we're quite a few families. I don't remember exactly how many, but there are a lot of us, and we're all united. None of us want to move.
Y queremos ahorita tener una comunicación con el dueño de que él nos economice un poco la renta.
And so we want to have direct communication with the owner to talk about the level of the rents.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I do want to mention before we come to a close again. The march is happening this Saturday, correct?
That's right, tomorrow.
12:30 p.m. It'll begin at the Normandy Apartments at 4605 Northeast Killingworth Street. And it'll end at Rigler Elementary. That's 5401 Northeast Prescott. I also hear that Tana Sanchez, a representative for COLE, will be there. Mm-hmm. And Chloe Udale. Is there anything else before we close that you'd like everyone to know?
Well, this rent increase at the Normandy, in addition to affecting Rigler School and affecting these 18 families, it threatens to tear a hole in the Cully neighborhood. These families are pillars of our community. They are they're leaders in our neighborhood and in our schools. And the Cully neighborhood is really uniting behind them and is going to be coming out tomorrow to show these investors who bought the Normandy that, well, for them, this building is just about money, and the numbers on the doors of those apartments are an investment to maximize their profits, that for us, this is our neighborhood, and these are the homes of our neighbors.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, for coming on our show and letting everybody know about the complicated issues with the Normandy apartments. Again, that march happens tomorrow, 12:30. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6:02. Coming up next is Bread and Roses.
Lo que queremos es de que